Hello and welcome to Speaking with Carl Thornton Jr. Good to be with you on a Saturday. Glad we are all back together again. Where we're going to be taking a look at issues that have to do with teens, issues that have to do with our older adults, looking at issues that have to do with how we live. And helping us start the day, Mr. Deodata. Name of the song is Nights of Fantasy. I'll definitely be letting you hear some more of that as we go. I want to start out, though, with a topic by Rebecca Reddy, Dr. Rebecca Reddy, courtesy of Psychology Today, where she's giving us some interesting information about our older adults, our, well, should I say senior citizens? Older adults has to do with the brain. As a matter of fact, she says that really older adults tend to see the world through rose-colored glasses. In other words, they are more optimistic in their perspective than a lot of younger people. They attend to and remember more positive than negative information, whereas the opposite is true for younger people. Does that surprise you? That older people tend to remember more positives than negative. Now, notice again what they did not say. They did not say older people don't remember negative stuff. That's not what they said. No. Older people tend to remember more positive than negative. And so, again, my question to you is this. Does it surprise you that older people tend to remember the positive more than younger people tend to remember the positive? If I can just be honest with you, that does come as a surprise to me. I would have automatically assumed that because they're younger, etc., younger people would remember more of the positive than the older people would. But nope. Both age groups remember the positive and the negative, but older people tend to remember more of the positive than the younger people do. Why is that the case? Well, there's some fascinating new evidence that suggests that older adult brains, I was talking about the brain, remember? That brain is so fascinating. But there's evidence that suggests that older adult brains are literally wired for a positivity effect. The positivity effect is the tendency to remember more positive than negative information in an experimental research session. For example, younger and older participants are shown an equal number of sad and happy faces. Later, their memory for those faces is tested. Okay, you got what happened now? Older people were shown pictures of faces. And of all those faces they were shown, they had an equal number of sad and happy faces. So if they saw 50 sad faces, they were also shown 50 happy faces. If they were shown 120 sad faces, they were also shown 120 happy faces. The same number of happy and sad faces, and the same thing was done with the younger group. They were shown pictures of faces, sad and happy, and they were shown equal numbers of sad and happy faces. And then, check this out. When their memory for the faces was tested. The younger people tended to remember more sad faces than happy faces, while the older adults remembered more happy faces than sad faces. They call it a positivity bias, and is evident across a range of studies, and it may be associated with brain activity while the brain is at rest. In other words, even when older adults are not processing or regulating emotional information, their brains are poised to down-regulate negative information. And check this out. It's not just this study. Several studies have examined the brains of older adults at rest. Older adult brains show stronger connections between emotion regulation. And remember, we've been finding out, especially when talking with one of our guests, I guess about a year and a half ago, about our brains, about the emotional brain, that's the title of his book, that our emotions are in our brain, literally our brain, our emotion, direct connection. The emotional center of us is in the brain. And older adult brains show stronger connections between emotion regulation centers than for younger persons. In other words, parts of the frontal lobes are more strongly connected to the amygdala, which is the part of the brain that processes emotion information. Are some of you beginning to believe me now when I say we are the invisible part of us that we do not see, and we are the physical part of us that we do see? We can see the brain. We still cannot see emotion. We can see the brain, though, which regulates emotion. They can wire some of the equipment up to the brain and see that brain working, working, working as the person experiences various emotions. Very interesting. The parts of the frontal lobes more strongly connected to the amygdala, which is the part of the brain that processes emotion information. It's as though with older adults, their neural networks are ready and waiting to process experiences in a manner that downplays the negative, and as a result, leaves them more brain resources to look on the bright side. Older people, did you know that about yourselves? Is that part of the reason that some older people are able to talk about the bright side of things, even when things are dark? In the brain, there is a connection with that sunny side up, bright side, silver lining, light at the end of the tunnel, view of life, approach to life with older adults that is tied up in the brain. Wow. What is it about our brains? You know, I had to ask this. What is it about our brains, about us, that changes over the years that brings us to the point where the brains of older adults are more inclined to see life from a positive perspective than the brains of younger people? Is that something that has always been the case, or is that the case partly because of the growing negativity that is in our world that maybe young people are more exposed to? I mean, you think about it. Technology is really blossoming, if you will. But think about what we've been told about that technology and its impact on us. A lot of people really not connecting with other people. I mean, really soul to soul, because so much communication is taking place via the technology, the smartphones, the pads, etc. And then you have young people who have grown up at a time of explosions, so many bombings of so many of our buildings, public facilities, our rights being taken away, growing up at a time when many companies, I'm certainly not going to say all, but corporate executives at many companies really stress lack of loyalty to their employees. And as a result, a lot of young people grow up looking at what happened with their parents and their grandparents, laid off their jobs, fired for all practical purposes, even after, in many cases, devoting themselves to those companies. But because it was cheaper to send the jobs to other countries, huge layoffs, firings, mass firings in America the Beautiful. And these young people growing up and seeing this and saying, you know what? I see what happened to my parents. I see what happened to my grandparents. I'm not going to develop a sense of loyalty to my companies. And just the decision not to develop that sense of loyalty has got to have a negative impact on the way the brain works. Is it because of the world into which so many young people are born now and grown up now that older people tend to see life through rose-colored glasses more than the young people? Or has it always been that way regardless of the circumstances? Well, either way, I find it fascinating that that is the way the brains are working, the brains of older people. Maybe, is it possible that older people have more positivity from their past to look back on that helps them view life more positively than young people who may not have the good old days to wish for, to somewhat grieve over that those good old days are past? I mean, you think about the good old days from 90 years ago, the good old days from 60 years ago, compared to what would be considered the good old days for millennials, what kind of comparison would there be? Well, anyway, that's where we are. Didn't tell us why, but they did tell us that older people's brains are wired to see life more positively, or at the very least, to remember more positives than negatives, than the brains of younger people. All right, now that said, let's go ahead and take a look some more at this topic that would impact so many people, impact our memories as well as our future, and it has to do with the transfer of trillions. We've been looking into this courtesy of the Center on Budget and Policy Priorities, and I'll just be calling them the Center for short when we discuss these matters. And we're looking again at the trillions of dollars that would come about as a result of a Trump presidency. And basically, again, for the benefit of those of you who have not heard the discussion yet, the center was taking a look at the Urban Brookings Tax Policy Center numbers crunching when it comes to the plans that Trump and Ted Cruz had for cutting taxes. And essentially it came down to, for those who are millionaires and wealthier, it was going to be a win. For those who are not millionaires, but are middle class and lower class, it's going to be a loss. So not all of America would win. Doesn't matter what race or ethnicity, if you will. If you're not wealthy, millionaire status and above, multimillionaire, billionaire, if you're not millionaire status and above, according to these two centers, and again, nonpartisan organizations, it would be a win for millionaires and up, a loss for everyone else. Now, again, I've chosen a nonpartisan organization because I want us to look at these numbers from a nonpartisan perspective. And so I want to encourage you to not allow yourself to be upset if it's not coming from the perspective that you want it to. I know very often You know, you have some people who want a liberal perspective. You have some people who want a conservative or a neoconservative perspective. You have some people who want a moderate perspective. And what I'm trying to bring to you just the facts as they really are. Truth is what I'm hoping to provide so that we can be well-informed about the issues and make a well-informed decision as to which position we want to take on any given issue that we discuss. So I figure the best way, and in my mind, the fairest way, to give everyone an opportunity to engage mentally and to talk about it objectively, whatever the issue is to bring you information from a nonpartisan organization that has a reputation for doing a good job of doing what they do. So that hopefully we do walk away well-informed. We can get a lot of information and still not be well-informed. When I say well-informed, I don't mean just a lot of information. I mean we have been given enough accurate and true information that we are in a position to make a decision as to where we stand based on the true facts. Sometimes people do lie to us, but a lot of times people will just deceive us. They'll give us a lot of information, but they know that the information that they're giving us is skewed one way or the other, so that they're not painting a realistic picture of what's really happening or what will really take place as a result of this proposal. They only want you to hear the part that they want you to hear so that you will get on board with them. My intention is to provide you with enough accurate, true information that you can make a well-informed decision. So, calculating the share of the tax cuts that various income groups would receive shows that there's going to be a very, very disproportionate nature of the tax cuts. Just 0.8% of the population would live in households with incomes exceeding $1 million. Right now, just 0.8% of the population, 0.8% of the population would live in households with incomes exceeding $1 million. But those same households would receive 38% of Donald Trump's tax cuts. That would be greater than the share of the tax cuts that the bottom 80% of the population would receive. The bottom 80% of the population would receive 32% of the tax cuts. Those that 0.8% who have incomes that are $1 million or more would receive 38% of the Trump tax cuts. Is that fair in your mind? Be honest now, is that fair? If it is, say yes. If that's not fair in your own mind, be honest and say no. Regardless of your party affiliation, that's one of the things that I'm really asking us to do. And that is, don't focus so much on party affiliation as on truth and integrity. It's so interesting that so often people can be at a point where they recognize the truth, but because they're so dedicated to their agenda, their party's agenda, the party ideology, etc., they still refuse to show integrity and admit the truth that they're aware of. And so often people will say something is right and fair when they know that it is wrong and unfair. I'm encouraging us, come on, let's be stronger than that. Let's be people who truly pursue truth and then exercise the integrity needed to admit what is true. I'll be right back